Now, but Nathan Jones joins me, Melbourne veteran and former captain, thanks to Dometic Mobile Living Made Easy. Welcome to you, Nathan. Thanks for jumping on the program again.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Did you, I'm not sure if you heard the little piece of Chris Davies from SENSA Breakfast, the footy boss at Port Adelaide, saying if players come back out of shape, they won't play, so they better start getting themselves into shape. How are you going? And if there was a game on Saturday, could you play?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I can only speak on our behalf, but Burjo's certainly set up a pretty strong program for our boys to complete. Probably, the first couple of weeks initially was just trying to see where it all landed, but, we're pretty hopeful that, we'll get an answer from the AFL pretty soon. So along with that, training should start to step up again pretty quickly, I would have thought, and, our squad will definitely be in the shape, ready to go from what I've seen with our program so far.
And once you step over the white line, it's on. So do you see a little advantage for the self-motivators, for guys like yourself who might be more ready and have tackled this period with more training load than some others?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I guess that's probably been a driving factor for me personally. I saw it as a real opportunity, one, to get on top of a little niggle I had just prior to round one, which forced me to miss that first game. And two, I think absolutely, that's some of the messages that, the more senior guys at our club have been pushing, particularly to the younger boys, that, may find themselves feeling a bit bored or, lacking a little bit of focus. It is a real opportunity to get a leg up on the opposition and make sure that you are completing it to the intensity and to the level that's expected, because as you said, once we do cross the white line, it's on. And according to all the news that we're hearing is, once the AFL pulls the trigger on it, we've only got sort of 3 or 4 weeks to be 100% prepared.
So have you been told, unofficially, officially, to get ready, boys, that it's not far away?
No, not to that regard. We're still waiting for the AFL to obviously announce something as far as what sort of the future look like and potentially where they're aiming to start the games back, but we're hopeful that's not too far away. I think from what we're hearing, AFL we're gathering I think maybe next week to hopefully give us some sort of guideline in that regard, but I guess what we're trying to do is just simulate with our training as much as we can, as if we have been sort of in season, so the loads are ease off at the start of the week and really increase towards the back end of the week as they would in season when you're playing games and then recovering.
Now, I know the one game at a time, one season at a time thing, but do you see this as an opportunity for you to play in 2021, given that you're 32 years of age now, you've given your body a rest, it's going to be a short season, a 17-game season, and your maturity might be something that the club is really going to cherish more than ever in this coming season?
Yeah, I think you're on the money there, probably where my head's at. I think that's been a really driving factor that's shaped my mentality over the last probably 2 months, is that, I've got a real desire to continue to play for as long as I can. I've read some reports from other older guys around the competition, Mark Murphy and Travis Boak and these kind of guys thinking similarly, and I don't see why, in my case, that's any different, providing, you stay fit and you can perform on the field, which is the most important thing. I think, those senior guys are going to really offer something with the ever-changing landscape that we're now facing with the game and probably the uncertainty of what that looks like going into the future. I'm really confident that I can still provide something that's of real high value to the footy club and hopefully, that allows me to continue to play for as long as I want to and see some success off the back of a really probably interesting 2020 that I didn't predict late in 2019.
So you're not officially captain, but have you seen it as a role that you need to play, given you are a self-motivator and a bit of a spiritual thinker, if you don't mind labelling you as that, as a philosopher as well, yep, to help the younger guys who might not? Because you do meditate, you are a bit of a spiritual thinker. I'm presuming that's helped you through this period as well.
Yeah, for sure. I've stepping away from the leadership group and the captaincy and stuff, I've still got a pretty important role there. I still liaise with those boys a fair bit, been involved in all the meetings over this period that we've been having, and
you know, I've taken a really hands-on role with the younger group. We have like a DNA Academy, which is sort of first and second year players at the club. So I've been involved with them a fair bit, had a fair few conversations with a lot of those younger guys, the less experienced guys over this period, along with, you know, the coaches that sort of take hold of that group, Matty Egan and Maxi Rook. So we've had some important discussions, and I see my role in being able to influence those guys, fast track those guys, and hopefully give them some perspective on, you know, a situation like this, which is uncertain for myself, but I guess through my experiences and my, you know, knowledge, being able to pass that on to them, and hopefully, you know, they find themselves in much better shape and better condition and give themselves the best opportunity to resurrect their career once the season resumes.
We heard Patrick Dangerfield earlier this week kind of admitting that in some ways he overreacted initially with his, he said the word fanciful on the Hubs idea shutdown, saying that, you know, his immediate image was this 4x4, this is his words, 4x4 room with no windows. And a fear, I presume, is a fair emotion for a lot of people to have in this situation. I understand that fully. But have your emotions sort of been a bit of a roller coaster, or have you noticed that other players have had a bit of an emotional roller coaster where their emotions have changed more in the positive in this last week to emphasise the fact that there is light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think initially the uncertainty created a lot of fear and anxiousness amongst everyone, not only within the footy community, but within society as a whole. So, you know, we're just a reflective portion of that. But I think, you know, now sort of the dust has settled. We're a lot clearer than where we were, you know, 8 or 10 weeks ago. Now we can start to, I guess, think more logically and probably, you know, foresee a little bit further into the future on, you know, how things are shaping up. And, you know, I definitely feel probably in the last week or two there's been a lot more positivity amongst the players, some real excitement and energy back in their voice, because I think they are starting to sense that, you know, it's hopefully not too far away. But in saying that, you know, if you're looking at what, you know, the government and, you know, those really important bodies that are controlling all this, you know, social distancing and isolating and all that kind of thing, until they sort of make the call, there is going to be some uncertainty. So a lot of that is just, you know, balancing your mindset and remaining focused on, you know, the bigger picture, which, you know, for players in particular, that's just staying fit and healthy and, you know, I guess training and keeping yourself occupied as much as you can.
So what have you personally been doing? I know you box and you like to swim, and I know you probably would love to surf and probably haven't been doing much of that, if any of that at all.
Have you? I was a bit uncertain initially about going surfing, but I didn't want to go down and get fined. I thought that'd be a nightmare, but I've looked into that. And obviously, if you're practicing all the measures to do with social distancing, you know, I think surfing's sweet. So I've actually done that a few times over the last couple of weeks, and that's given me a little bit of respite from, you know, the homeschooling and a couple of young kids at home and trying to couple that with training. So, no, I'm in a good space, mate. I think most guys are enjoying the fact that, you know, they can control their programs and routines and maybe try a few different things. You know, I get out on the bike a little bit, and as you said, I enjoy going swimming and spearfishing and these kind of things. Not that I can spearfish anymore since there's a banning on that, but yeah, it's actually been, I guess for me personally, I've really enjoyed the this little period after 15 years in the game, sort of being told where to be and what to do and how to do it for pretty much most of the years. The chance to sort of control all that myself and enjoy some time with my family and, you know, experience my kids, my daughter going through prep and spending more time with my young son, it's been quite refreshing for me.
So put a percentage on it for me. Is surfing more for your mental health or for your fitness? What's the balance there? I presume it's a lot.
Definitely mental. It's almost, I sort of feel, and most guys that you speak to, I reckon, would sort of see it as a form of meditation, really. It's just a chance to sort of get out there. And once you do, immerse yourself in the ocean and, you know, you're with mates and enjoying the waves and being out there, generally you sort of forget about most other things that are going on and you immerse yourself in that for the 2 or 3 hours that you're out there. So just the chance to refresh the mind and yeah, I guess reset. And I've been trying to do that sort of once a week for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
You've got a couple of kids. How's that been? I think your wife Has it helped knowing your wife for so long? You went to school with your wife, I understand. So you've kind of been through a lot of thick and thin before, because you're now 32. I'm sure you've seen a lot of ups and downs together. Has that helped?
Yeah, no, it definitely helped. It hasn't been easy like everyone else, you know. I think you're sort of on top of each other a lot, and there's been some challenges like all parents that have young kids at school at the moment. It's, our daughter's in prep, as I mentioned before, and, you know, being sort of hands-on with helping them homeschool and these kind of things, it sort of adds a whole new dimension to the family life and the pressures at home. But as I said before, mate, we've actually really enjoyed that opportunity, you know, getting to see your kids learn and obviously spend a whole lot more time, you know, when both of them are generally at daycare and at primary school for 5 days of the week, whereas now we're all at home and get to spend time together, go for walks together and just sort of enjoy a lot of the simple things that you probably sort of let slip by in the busyness of a year. You know, we're sort of taking a step back and tried to enjoy all those moments.
And a quick question on the feeder system, the under-18 system. You went to Peninsula in Mount Eliza. The under-18 system, the school system, and, you know, the AFL club system sees us duplicate a lot of stuff. You know, the Stingrays have to have a gym and an oval. Peninsula School has a gym and an oval. The AFL clubs all have gyms and ovals. They could have under-18 teams. With the revamping and the redesigning of the feeder system, could you see a time when school football becomes more important, or that becomes the bigger competition? Or do you like the old under-18 system, which is the new one with, you know, teams like Dandenong, etc., and the Dragons and the Falcons?
No, it's probably a conversation for another time, but my view would, and I don't know whether we'd have the funds to do it and whether you could actually structure it, but ultimately I'd love to see, you know, potentially have the draft age raised and clubs to have a second-tier competition, which is linked to then an under-18 competition. So then ultimately every AFL club has a reserves and an under-18s, which I think would be the most efficient way to run it, and obviously the best way of sort of harnessing all the talent in one place. And obviously, then you can't get drafted to potentially, say, 20 or 21, but you're already in the system from 18, which then allows guys to, you know, play in those higher-level competitions and, you know, potentially develop their skills and be ready for the senior competition when they're more mature and having sort of invested time in, you know, post-school studies and those kind of things. Ultimately, there's a lot that goes into, for me, to just throw that out there and say that I think that would work best is, the logistics of it may be impossible, but I think ultimately it'd be awesome if it got to that point one day.
No, I've talked to a few people of the same belief in a way. You know, Collingwood, Melbourne, Richmond, Port Adelaide, West Coast all have an under-18 team. It doesn't guarantee that you end up playing with that team, but at least it puts you in facilities that are top-notch and with coaching that's top-notch.
Yeah, I think, like, ultimately, yeah, you know, even if it got to that point where, you know, at the moment in the draft system, we have a bidding system. So, you know, if you've got guys that have come through your under-18 affiliated team and then maybe even spent time at your VFL team, you can potentially bid on them at draft time. And, you know, there's concessions and all these kind of things that are involved. That's potentially the way it could go. But ultimately, as you said before, you know, we've got, you know, school football teams, we've got under-18 competitions, we've got all these resources and the need for gyms and ovals and stuff. I think if we could simplify it, streamline it to a certain degree, we'd have such a better product, particularly across those more elite-level competitions. I think in the end that'd be a real ideal structure for potentially running state league under-18 and the national competition.
And before I let you go, did you buy a Saints membership?
No way. I will at some point, but just not right now. At the moment, they're still the enemy for me. And when I finish playing footy and I'm going to watch Zach play just as a supporter, I'll definitely get on board. But right about now, I think the best thing to do would probably be buy another Melbourne membership.
Didn't your brother Zach and Dan Hanbury try to stitch you into a Saints membership?
Yeah, they stitched me up the other day. I was at home just kicking around in the garage, doing a little bit of weights and stuff, and I had a missed call from a private number call me, and I answered and literally picked it up straight away that it was Hannah's on the other end of the phone. I'd only been training with Zach that morning. He mentioned he was going to call some supporters and get in there and try and sell some memberships. So, yeah, I read the play on that one, that's for sure.
You sound in a pretty good mental space right now, Nathan. I wouldn't like to be lining up on you in round two. Good luck with it, and hope your 286-game career goes well past 300. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.